Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Right, Ange.
Right, Pats.
Okay, this is a quick fire. Are you ready?
Oh, God. Right, yeah.
Quick fire. Get ready. Here we go. Ant or deck?
Deck.
Chinese or curry?
Curry.
Facebook or Instagram?
Insta.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Mum or dad?
No, quick fire! Quick fire! Mum or Mum. Dad?
Netflix or chill?
Chill.
Oh, you're going for sexy
fries. Well, I thought that was more that you didn't have to do that.
Eggs or bacon?
Bacon.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
Me or James?
You every shitting day.
Yeah. I think that... And you said mum because mum listens and dad
exactly.
doesn't.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah. Right. You were thinking, actually, Mal's never going
to
know.
I don't have to say Mal because he won't have a shitting clue anyway. So
no,
okay.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was quite a nice little opener, wasn't it, Pat?
Yeah,
a quick fire.
Yeah. Interesting you went for chill, which is sexy vibes.
Yeah, see, I didn't realise that was the sexy vibes.
Well, you know, Netflix and chill. I thought like you want to come round Netflix.
I thought like the Netflix and chill was. Well, I don't really know what I thought it was, to be honest. I didn't really ever understand that shit, Netflix and chill.
Well, Netflix and chill is like the way the young'uns say, do you want to come round and get sexy?
I do, but why chill? Because surely it's not chill, is it?
It depends what you're doing, doesn't it?
It's more likely to be Netflix and...
Bang Bang.
Erratic.
Erratic!
Netflix and erratic. My bloody head. Does your hair really piss you off when you got headphones?
Yeah,
on?
With I your can't, headphones.
I'm just going to have to adjust because like it's really not right.
You're like a bit of a penis,
oh,
don't
I feel
you?
Like a massive bell end. Hang on, let me do the whole hairy shakes.
Hairy shakes. Hair, there we go.
There that we is go. Better. That yeah, is better now, Patty. Better. That is better.
Now, Ange, do you want to hear something funny that happened at the weekend?
Pat, you know I'm always up for a funny story, especially if it involves you.
Marley and I went to see my in-laws in Bournemouth.
Yes.
Had a great time.
Lovely.
Beautiful. Went out for a meal on Saturday night. Mm. And as we approached my in-laws' drive, I took a spectacular tumble. And I
what,
mean,
were they with
I
you?
Actually...
Or was it just you and
yes.
Marley?
No.
Oh, no.
So me and Derek, my father-in-law,
Del,
and Jill and Marley are behind. Right. So Del, we get to the drive and Derek sort of ups the pace to go and open the door. Mm-hmm. my foot slips. They've got a bit of a dip in their drive. And I mean, I fell flat on my face.
No.
Like, fully spread out on their drive, everything. Not just like a little...
What, so did you go forwards?
Yeah, so I hit my head on the side as I went down. I whacked my knee and both my hands were like, or you know, when you get
like the little grazy, gravelly bits in your hands.
And I heard Jill go, oh God, Ruth! Right? So I sort of get into a sitting position and I say quite quickly, it's okay, you can laugh.
Damn right, yeah.
Jill's like, no. I fell over at work just a couple of days ago. I am not laughing at this. Marty.
Cracking up.
No, Marty's bent down, like overlooking at me. He says, I'm not going to laugh yet. Honestly, about 3.5 seconds later, Marty's walking up the drive. I can just see his shoulders going, absolutely fucking killing himself laughing. But it was a full spread out, face first plant.
I am so disappointed there is no video footage of this.
I know. That's why you've got to have a camera on you.
I mean, especially, I mean, Mardy, really, he needs to be constantly prepared.
He needs to up his game, yeah. Doesn't he? Yeah.
He needs to have that camera on his phone constantly when he's with you.
247-365.
247-365.
Yeah. I loved the head wobble.
So, anyway, you're not like any, there's no injuries, just like
superficial. Oh, I've got a horrible, no, I've got a really nasty, massive bruise on my knee.
A really nasty, massive bruise.
It's horrid.
Shit.
Yeah.
But it's not actually very funny, and I'm disappointed I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah, very funny. Yeah. Anyway, you've got some stuff to bring, I believe, about Malamars.
Right, yeah. So I've not said anything to you about this. I thought, right, I'm saving it. No. Saving it for podcast, saving it.
Sometimes you've just got to save
you
it.
You've just got to keep it in, you've got to internalise. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yesterday, I had to pop over to the Malamars. So basically, Joel was getting his car repaired. It was.
Do we need this information? No, you went to Mum and Dad's. That's where the story can begin.
So I had to pop over to Malamars, right?
Right.
They weren't there when we got there, so I let myself in. Right. Made myself a brew. While I'm making the brew, I notice, I think, probably about 4 toothpicks just hanging around on the side.
Yeah well, that's Malamars. Right.
I thought, okay, yeah, that's Malamars, you know, toothpicks. Love so them. I take my tea, Zest. Go into sit in the lounge. There's probably about another 3 or 4 toothpicks.
Oh, yeah.
One on the sofa. Actually,
yeah, that was
on
there
the
when
sofa.
I popped in today. Yeah, that was there when I popped in today.
3 on a little coffee table, another couple on another couple on another coffee table.
Yeah, they're just everywhere.
And I'm like, why do they constantly get shit in their teeth?
They're just obsessed with toothpicks. They are obsessed.
What is that about?
Honestly, when I popped in there today.
Yeah.
And there was still, there was actually 2 on the sofa. one of them had like started to fall down, you know, in between
the crevice. The crevice.
One of them was like, one of them was like resting in there. There was like 3 on the coffee table, 2 on the other coffee table. As you go in on the side in the kitchen, there's just a load strewn. Yeah. And they've been dicking around with those in their mouth.
And then they just leave them lying around. Side.
Yeah. Fucking disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah, clear up after yourselves.
I was literally like, why? Why have you got toothpicks everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Toothpicks.
I know.
Toothpicks. And they're those like.
Well, that's Mal, isn't it?
Well, and Margs. Margs is forever she's forever.
Well, sometimes Mum uses her necklace.
She's got a pointy, lovely Tiffany necklace that James got.
Yeah.
She can't get into a toothpick.
Well, it is basically a toothpick round her neck, isn't it?
Basically,
maybe we should get one for Mal.
Yeah,
we should get
like
Mal a
like babies and toddlers have dummies that you can pin onto their clothes. We should get them
Mum's
both
obsessed
a little,
with a
clip on
toothpick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I could not believe the amount of toothpicks.
Yeah,
they're
house. Everywhere. They're everywhere.
And then I sort of thought, I don't think I ever use a toothpick.
No.
Why
are you calling it a toothpick? Why are you calling it
Because that's what Mal calls them, doesn't he? Toothpicks. he calls
and
them
then,
toothpicks.
So Margs came here quickly because Mal and Margs were jetting off to LA.
Yeah. Bastards.
On Thursday. Bastards. So Margs came here because she said, oh, I'll come over and change your bedding. I was like, I can do it. It's fine. No, I'll come. You know, she won't take no for an answer, will she?
No.
Bloody comes in. She has a go at me because I've left a mug on the side where I sit, on the table where I sit. From last night, I can't believe you can't shake. I'm thinking, now you've brought this up. Yeah. My comeback should have been one of these bloody toothpicks.
I definitely think this is, you know, I think this is, we need to have a conversation with them about the toothpicks.
It's laziness, isn't
well, is it?
It?
And
is
also,
it,
I mean, it's
laziness.
Bordering on addiction unhygiene. Now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a toothpick addiction.
And unhygienic.
It's unhygienic because you just leave them around everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I went to sit on the sofa. I was like,
it's
fucking more.
Especially
in
these COVID times.
Covids! And shoving that in your mouth
also,
and leaving you on the sofa.
Talking of COVID, it's all gravy, baby. Sue Gray, she's handed her report
Sue
in, hasn't
Gray.
She?
Yeah, it's in. Have you heard some shit
Did
about
you...
it?
No, have you?
I mean, she does not hold back.
Did you see the Joe Lycett stuff this week?
No.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. Joe, you know the comedian
yes,
Joe
I
Lycett?
I know him,
hilarious. He put out a fake report. So I'm going to read you some of the things he put in it because if you didn't see it, that is hilarious. Honestly,
oh yeah, but she's documented all these basically all these parties now that are definitely, this wasn't just a meeting, this was a gathering, this was a
party.
An over, what was the thing she said about, there's basically a real issue around alcohol within the government.
Oh my God.
That's
I want to be in Bojo's crew.
Same.
Anyway, listen, so Joe Lycett released this and actually people that work for the government thought it was genuine.
Brilliant.
And he got a thread of text messages from somebody who follows him saying, messages on Instagram saying, I've got a mate who works in government. They're all running around. They think this is genuine.
No.
But listen to some of this stuff that Joe Lycett put in. It's hilarious. Games were played, which were known as slow dance and pass the arsehole. A number of WhatsApp groups were established to organise gatherings with titles included Definitely a Meeting with a Winky Face and Down It Street.
Down It Street!
Right, listen to this one. This is one of my favourites. Before one of the gatherings, and then he's blacked out the name like they would, obviously they would.
Yes.
Before one of the gatherings, someone who worked closely with the PM insisted everyone be tested and was subsequently referred to as Twatterall Flo. By everyone else. And then it says at the end, please forward any queries to my email address. It's all Sue Gravy Baby at AOL.com. Yeah, and then somebody messaged him. Yeah, somebody said, I work in Parliament for the Conservatives, and I think you need to know your tweet this morning was read as an actual serious leak from Sue Gray's report. You had MP staff running around panicking from what it said. Panic dialing the MPs, like, we need to discuss this right now. I can't believe she used the phrase Down It Street.
That
absolute
is
legendary work, Joe. Well done.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Twatterall Flow.
Oh my gosh. No, I didn't see that.
Honestly, and somebody obviously, I mean, it's all Sue Gravy Baby at AOL.com. I mean, is that how fit people who work in
I mean, that's becoming more and more obvious, to be perfectly honest.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love the term Twatterall Flow.
Twatterall Flow, yeah.
Ange.
Yes, Pats.
Have you logged into your Dipsy account yet?
Well, I have. Yeah.
Aren't the stories brilliant?
I am impressed with the Dipsy.
The sexy audio stories.
Yeah, but do you know what? Did you check out the hunks section?
No.
Yeah, there's a whole hunks section.
So
you can pick your hunk. And it's male and female, so, you know, it accommodates everybody.
Yes.
So, for instance, you've got Jack, and he's a brooding hometown crush. Checked out Jack a couple of times.
Yeah, Jack sounds like he's right up your strata.
Right up my strata. You've got Kiara, who's a koi tattoo artist.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole select. Do you know the thing that I found the most weird was there's a hunk called Malcolm.
Wow. Yeah. Mal, if you're listening, we know that he is a balding 70-year-old
hunk of a man.
Ex-book-selling man.
Exactly. So there's all these hunks I found. And I also found, I really liked the, because you've got a wellness section.
Yes, that's lovely, isn't it?
And really a sleep section.
Yes.
Which is also very, very, because I do struggle to relax. As you know, Pat, I'm a bit sort of, you know, a bit on the go.
A bit highly strung.
Yeah. And sometimes, and I found that sort of sleep just helps me just relax, helps me just switch off. So it's not just, you know, your sexy vibes, but they're there if you want them. But it's also everything else.
It's such a nice way to explore your sort of fantasies. That's what I think is really nice about it.
Yes.
Like, sometimes that, especially as a woman, there can be a bit of a shame around that. Mm. And there should, I've actually got a friend, I'm not going to name them, but I've got a friend who already uses Dipsy. Mm. And when they found out that we were doing an ad for them, they got in touch and they were like, I love it. I love that you can have that wellness element, or it can be sensual.
Yes.
You know, it can be sexy times. And did you know that for our listeners, Dipsy are offering an extended 30-day free trial? You just go to Dipsy, which is D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/funny, and you can try it for 30 days for free. And I actually think it is a brilliant app. I've loved it. Yeah,
it is. It's a real eye opener for me, I have to say. And I think the fact there are hundreds of stories to choose from. There's new release. Yeah. There's new content they release every week. So you're never going to kind of get bored and listen to the same things. And I do think the whole thing around the wellness and the sleep and helping you to wind down, I think is really, really crucial in this. In this day and age, Pats, to be
honest. So tell us once more, Ange, where do we go?
Okay, so for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/funny. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/funny. dipsystories.com/funny.
So, Ange, I've got a. Do you want to give us the jingle? Oh no, Joe will insert the jingle. Let's
Joe will do an insertion.
This week's Urban Dictionary is very simple. It's man stand.
Man stand?
Yeah.
Is it... Oh, I don't really know. What's a man stand? Is it like a handstand, but it's a man standing? No. What's a man stand?
Okay. It's the act of a man standing outside a shop while his wife, girlfriend, partner shops inside. Man standing involves looking into space, looking at other women, or in the case of multi-story shopping centres, leaning on the railings of an upper floor, watching the people below. Bloody hell, I've been doing the man stand outside T2 for over an hour.
That is so true.
Man stand.
Man stand.
Do you know what? You can spot those poor bastards a mile off, can't you? Like, you walk along a shop, there's leaning on the railings. That is Mal.
My question to that is, right, why bother going? Why are men choosing to go and shop with their wives, girlfriends, partners, whatever, to basically stand around?
Yeah, I mean,
why are they doing that?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because Matthew Mardy never really comes shopping with me.
No, I don't want Ian or Joel to ever come shopping with me ever again, ever.
Well, do you remember when we went away?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
That time that we were in Bristol and we went to that big shopping place.
Yeah.
Dad was pissed off by the minute we got there. I mean, he got out of the car and he was already in a bad mood. Yeah. It's like, Mally, you're right. Yeah, I want to get out of here.
I just hate shopping.
Why the bloody hell did you come then, Mal? And then we learned our lesson, didn't we? Because then when we went to Portsmouth, we all were like, we're going to take 7 million cars. Everyone,
it's going to take your own car. And when you're ready to fuck off, you can just go.
Because Mal even said to me, should we just come with you?
Yeah.
No, Mal. We need to have all four cars there. Of an emergency get out.
Yes.
Because you've been man standing for too long.
Why do you think some men do it? Because they want to keep an eye on what's being spent. I just think there's some men
that are like, oh yeah, I think men don't think it through. I think they think, oh yeah, it'll be fine, we'll get a coffee. You know, I think what men forget is how long women can shop for.
Yeah.
So when we went to Portsmouth, the men obviously all pissed off, thank God. All four of them went.
Yeah. Yeah.
And me, Ellen and Mum, we had a whale of a great time.
Yeah.
We went into a couple of shops, just perused.
Oh.
Ellen said, can I go into Levi's? I don't want anything, just want to see what they've got. Yep. Of course, let's go and have a look.
Of course, that's what this is about.
You wanted to go and try coats on in Ted Baker. You never could have bought one, but you wanted to see what they were like.
I just wanted to try them on.
All of us just hung out in the shops with each other.
Yeah.
But I think men think, oh, it'll be in and out. They just want to, you know, if a woman says, oh, I need to get some new shoes for that wedding, I'm going to go to the shops. Men think that's all we're going to do.
Men just think you're going to turn up, you're going to go into one shoe shop, you're going to find the shoes you want, you're going to leave.
And even if that did happen, there would still be a little bit of a, I wouldn't mind popping here, I wouldn't mind popping.
Well, like, I always think men as well, forget that. I always think as well, very rarely do you buy that one, that first thing you get in that first
exactly.
Because you go, well, I do like them and they're actually the right colour and they're not a bad price, but actually I just want to check. Yeah. There isn't anything else any better.
I want to go to your Jean-Louis.
Yeah, I want to go to your Jean-Louis.
I want to go to your Fenwick's. I want to go to your Fenwick's.
Yeah.
You know, and I think men, you know, if women say, I've got to go and get this, men don't think through the man standing they're going to have to do. The leaning on railings that their life is going to become. The standing, staring into space. There's Saturday afternoon.
If I was a bloke, right, and I was that stupid to go shopping with my partner, right? Yeah. I'd actually bring one of those little portable chairs. Because you can get those, they're quite neat, quite compact. I'd chuck one of those in a bag.
Yeah.
And while she's in the shops, I'll just have a little sit down.
I'll just set up camp.
Yeah. I mean, you could go extreme. You could bring like a little flask,
bit of tea,
bit of coffee in a little pot.
Cake.
A little chocolate roll, a little mini roll,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could give yourself a right good time.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
Or you could just stay at home on a sofa with a fresh brew and a nice slab of cake. Like,
I just find
that whole notion of, you know, look, men, if you're listening,
do you think though, right?
Yeah.
I think I know.
I love it when you get.
I think I could name you, and I won't.
No.
I could name you some women that always want to do shit with their husbands.
Honestly.
Yes. So it's like they want to go to town, and the husband's like, or the partner's like, okay, great, fine, off you go, I'll see you later. No, I would really like you to come with me. Will you just come with me? I'm not going to be long, Jeff. Would you just come in with me, Jeff? Just a few things I want to get.
There's also that the other way around. I think there's also blokes that they're like, I'm going to pop into town. They're like, oh, well, I'll come. Well, no, you don't need to. It's fine. I've got it. No, I'll just come along. We can get a coffee or something. Mm. Okay, well, I'm going to be a couple of hours. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. They don't really take it in that they are actually going to be 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, before you
very
know
much
it, you stood on a railing.
Contemplating your life.
Yeah, like, holy shit. How have I managed 16 years of this? Stood watching other shoppers from below while my wife is in Oasis for 45 minutes.
I love doing shit on my own.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. I love going shopping on my own.
Me too.
I love going for a coffee on my own.
Yeah, me too.
I don't need any bugger with me doing anything. I really don't. If you want to come with me, it will piss me off a little bit. I'll allow you to come along because I don't want to be rude, but actually I'd rather you didn't.
And this is what it's like to be Angie's sister, everyone. That you phone her up and say, hey Pat, so what are you doing Saturday? Well, I'm actually going out. Oh yeah, what are you doing? I'm going to my favourite coffee shop on my own. Oh, okay, cool. No probs. Have a great time. I mean, Ellen will probably want to come, so that's enough.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take her. I don't need anyone else.
Don't add two into the mix.
No, definitely not.
That is. But I just think sometimes men don't, they don't think it through.
No.
They don't have the foresight to think.
Well, that is it, isn't it? They don't
But do
think.
You know when I, do you know when the shoe is on the other foot?
When's
Not
that?
So much in our house, but in general, when you go like gadget shopping.
Oh, God.
Then you've got a woman's stand.
No.
Because you can spot those women in curries a mile off as well.
Well, I just went, why are you going?
Yeah, why are you going?
Why
that
are
is
you
the
going?
Question. You don't need to.
No.
You don't need to go to that together. You can
You're
go
too
on your
needy,
own.
Man. But I think there are some people, male and female, that are just too needy.
Oh my God, you are so fucking hard.
I cannot be doing with that shit.
I know.
If you're needy, we can't be friends.
No.
Okay.
You can't cope with
no.
that, can you? No, that's not your vibe.
Not at all.
No, that's not
any,
your vibe.
Any neediness for me, be it friendship, partner, kids to a certain extent.
Well, not any... just to a certain extent. In that, just kids. You don't need to say to a certain extent, needy kids for you. Oh, you're like, piss off.
Yeah, just can't be doing with needy. Needy people, I just want to smash in the face.
Well, I want our listeners to, if they can, discreetly take any pictures of men
standing.
If you're going into town this week, or maybe Costco, we've talked about Costco.
Yes.
And you spot a guy and you think, oh, yeah, he's doing a railings lean. He's contemplating.
He's bored out of his fucking mind.
He's lost his mind, I think, in this shopping centre. So, Ange, what has been getting on your shitting tits?
Ripped jeans.
No, piss
yes,
off.
Ripped
no.
jeans. In fact, I've actually missed out a word there. Overly
no,
ripped jeans.
I love my overly distressed jeans.
Right. Why are you wearing a pair of jeans that actually is probably pretty much a pair of shorts just with a little bit of material just about hanging on?
Why not?
Because it looks ridiculous.
Why? Do you not like my overly distressed jeans?
No.
Well, you lied to me when I got those, can I just say? You barefaced lied to me.
No, I actually said, my words were, they're not what I would choose.
But you said I really like them on you.
Yeah, I mean,
so you lied
I
to
do
me.
Like them on you.
Because what you said was... I came in and I said, what do you think of these jeans? A couple of my mates have said they like them. I'm not sure I can pull them on for 30. You said, I like the pats. Wouldn't be what I choose, but they look good on you.
Mm.
And now, here we are, fast forward 6 months. I've been living and bloody breathing in those jeans, wearing them out everywhere, thinking, Pats has told me they look all right. And now, rocking up, 31st of bloody January, 2022, here she comes, Bertie Big Bollocks, I don't like overly ripped jeans.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't.
You lied to me. How do you feel about the fact that you lied to me? While I was in your kitchen, you told me something that wasn't true.
Well.
Yeah. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Guilty. Guilty as charged, officer.
Guilty. I am guilty of that.
What is your problem with them?
I just don't see the point in having jeans that basically, from the knee down, is exposed.
Do you know what I don't see the point in? You. I don't see the point in this moment right now. I don't see the point in you, actually.
Like, I don't mind just a slit. Right?
Oh,
just
you a don't s- mind a slit.
just one rip, just around the knee area, or maybe the thigh, although I do find that a bit weird as well. But, you know, just when you literally put them on and you've got a gaping hole in your leg, then I'm like, no, this is not right. You don't need, just rip them off and make them shorts. Turn them into shorts for a summertime.
The only comeback I can think of at the moment is I'm going to rip you off in a minute. You know, I've gone very chopped because I'm still reeling at the fact that you, what about Ellen? What is she, because she told me she liked my jeans too.
Well, it's not about Ellen, is it? It's about me.
But what does she think
about? What's getting on my shitting tits, not what's getting on her tits.
What does she think about overly ripped jeans? I think she likes them.
I don't know. Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? And to be perfectly honest with you, Pat, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks. It's up to you, isn't it? If you like them and you like having half your leg out, that's fine. Carry on.
Well, in the winter, I've been wearing them with a blue tight underneath.
Oh, wow. Okay, nice. Blue
tight.
Yeah, they
do. That does look quite cool, you know.
Mm. Well, does it?
Well, I'm not going to trust you ever again now, am I? I'm going to be like, do you like this top? Yeah, I really like it, Patty. Yeah, no, you should get it. I'm going to be thinking, but you wait 6 months on the podcast. I really hate wraparound tops. And Patty's got 12 of them because I told her I liked them.
I've told you
this before. I have been vulnerable with you before and told you that your opinion to me is massive. That it's like, you know, I started using best on an email because you told me you used it. If you didn't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to an old episode.
That's a really old one.
Yeah, I actually use best all the time because you told me that. You know, I am forever 7 years old when it comes to my relationship with you. And I'm like, Patty does it, I'm going to do it. Patty likes it. That's all right. She said it's cool. And then on that episode as well, you said, I don't really get, well, you know what I don't get? Best. I'm thinking, fucking hell. That's what I've been doing for the last is.
The thing
is, oldest siblings, man, they're out of order. Out of order.
The thing is, I just find it a little bit odd. You know, but I know, you know, lots of people like them and lots of people wear them. You know, they're a big trend. But for me,
well, let's put it out to the masses.
Yeah, let's see what other people think about
the
old
five people
jeans.
That listen to this podcast. Let's ask all five people.
And I'm talking overly ripped,
overly distressed.
So
overly
I don't mind
distressed.
Just
the. Well, why
ones
don't
with
we put
slash.
A picture up on the socials?
On the socials.
Why don't you find a picture of overly distressed,
overly
jeans?
Cut so jeans
on Thursday? Go and check out the Finding the Funny social.
Good idea, Pats. Yeah,
and Andrew would have put a picture, or I will probably all put the picture up because Andrew will forget. But one of us would have put a picture up of overly cut jeans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want you to comment, and then we'll do a poll.
Yes.
And we'll bring it back next week.
We shall bring this back and see what the overall verdict is.
So if you don't follow Finding the Funny on Instagram, go
get
and
on
search it right away. It's the handle is just Finding the Funny. There'll be a picture on there on Thursday of overly distressed jeans.
We have had a great dickish behaviour from Laura on Gram.
Yeah.
And she says, graduation ceremonies for nursery school children.
Yeah.
What the actual fuck?
I mean, when did this become a thing?
Exactly.
Like, they put little, like, graduation hats on them now and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They?
And they have the, you know, the gown, the hat, the whatever they call it, the cap thing or whatever it is. Yeah, and they get a whole, you know, little sort of event where they come up and
they get
their
little
certificate. And yeah, exactly.
And then they have pictures.
Yeah. They're like, what, four?
Well, sometimes they do it, like nurseries, like 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
And apparently now as well, some nurseries do, when you graduate from the room, you know, when you go from the baby room
to
the toddler room, they do like a graduation. You're graduating up to the... I mean, this is fucking American.
Oh, it is.
Isn't
that's
it?
That's what I was just about to say. This is another American shit, isn't
to,
it?
I'm going to little Bradley's nursery graduation this week. I've got him a whole new outfit. It costs $450.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
What are you doing? What are we doing?
And also, that I don't care what you say, that 4-year-old feels like a prick. Because I've graduated as an adult and you feel like a prick.
Yeah.
But actually, you're quite proud of yourself because you've got through a 3-year degree.
Yeah, exactly.
You still feel like a bit of a dickhead.
Yeah.
What? I mean, in all honesty, what has little Bradley done?
Wiped his own arse at school.
Well, he hasn't even done that, has he?
Well, he probably has.
He's got dropped off at a room. He's been fed 3 meals while he's there. He's dicked around with the sand. he's played on the trike.
Done a bit of Play-Doh.
He's drawn a scribble that his mum put up on the wall. And he'll be like, oh, God, that's a shit drawing.
Mm.
And now he's having a graduation ceremony. No, it's ridiculous.
It is. It is such a stupid thing. Who started it? That's what I
well,
who started this
I think
graduation
it probably would have
ceremonies?
Been the Montessori group, because they came from America, didn't they?
Do you mean Montessori?
That's what I said, Montessori.
Oh, it sounds like you said Montessori.
No, I said Montessori, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. do you reckon that's what it's called, the old Montessoris? Well,
I reckon that's probably where this
sort of started. Actually, can I just say, Joe has just said you did say Montessori.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did. She right. did. And if I outrageous. Say it and Joe says it, then it's true.
This is out, Joe.
Montessori.
Joe, you're fired.
Isn't the Montessori?
You're absolutely fired. You're not really.
Alan
Sugar. I don't want to edit this podcast ever again. You're not fired.
Isn't the Montessori thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you don't say no. I'm sure.
What?
Yeah.
You don't say no.
Yeah, you don't say no to the children.
Yeah,
no, I think this is actually real.
So in Montessori.
Yeah.
I'm Googling this.
you don't use the word no.
Do you use the word no?
You have to use another word or something.
When parents discover Montessori, they understand this is about giving freedom and independence to their children.
Mm.
But in the Montessori education, we believe that freedom comes with limits. We give as much freedom as a child can handle, and we are not opposed to saying no, but we are mindful of when and how we say it.
Mm. I mean,
so they do say it.
Yeah.
When you're tempted to say no, try to rephrase it as a statement about what your child can do rather than what he or she can't. For example, instead of no throwing the ball in the living room, you could say, see if you could roll the ball down the hall.
Oh, God.
Oh, remember, no. We only throw balls outside.
No, you see, this is where it's come from, for sure.
For sure. They started the graduations.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. And they'd actually get a little scroll that said, well done, because we didn't have to say no to you.
No, the scroll will say, remember, don't be a dickhead. And I'm not going to say no. I'm just going to say, remember, don't be a dickhead.
Also, like, how, you know, like, that's the first thing you think to say, isn't it? No, don't do that. Like, so well, what you have to then think, well, oh, hang on, now I can't say no.
No.
I'll say, oh, sorry, Stephen. Would you mind just getting down off the stool because you might fall off and hurt yourself?
He's already done it. He's already fallen.
He's already cracked his head open.
Yeah, because you've been thinking of another way to rephrase
say
no.
Without saying no.
It's happened.
Yeah.
And then you can lean over him and say, sorry, Stephen, I know there's a lot of blood coming from your head, but I've been taught to rephrase it. So I didn't want to say, no, Stephen, don't touch that. You're in the fire now. You're burning. Don't touch the fire. I had to think of a way to rephrase it.
You've now got third degree burns.
Well, let's not laugh about it. I think that's going to be edited out. I think that third degree burns comment is not going to make the podcast. But yeah, I mean, in the process of them doing something dangerous, although they say they don't, it's not that they don't say it, they're just mindful about when they use it. So it, perhaps in scenarios that are very dangerous, they would say, no, you mustn't do that.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the poor
knows.
Stephen's gone from not hearing no
to
like everyone freaking out saying no.
Yeah.
I mean, what sort of shit is that?
Well, I reckon it was them that started the graduation.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear from parents who have reluctantly gone to nursery graduations, who've been like, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I don't need to do this. Obviously, I'm going to go, but it's not what I want to do. So if you've grudgingly gone, I reckon a lot of our listeners, I reckon there's some OGs.
Oh, for shiz.
Got kids that will have grudgingly gone to this.
Yeah. Shitty graduation.
So if you have, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. Ange and I are both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
And you can also find our podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. Just search Finding the Funny.
We've got another friendship chat.
We have, yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because friendship is really complex.
Oh, totally. And it's so changeable. You know, it changes so much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
From your sort of, you know, late teens, early 20s, and then things change, life changes, your career changes, you end up making new friends, and it just is a constantly changing part of your life, isn't it? And I think we decided to talk about it because we had sort of a couple of questions in, or a couple of things in from listeners around friendship. And we just thought, well, actually, let's kind of bring them today. Let's have a chat about it. So the two sort of questions we had from listeners came in. One was around, should you cut off a toxic friend or just let it fizzle out? So there was that one, which we kind of haven't really ever sort of talked about that. And then we had another one around making new friends in your 40s and how do you do it? And this one particular person has said that she had to stop working during COVID to support her husband and things happening with her children. And now she's sort of finding that she's actually just a bit bored and actually a bit lonely.
Yeah.
So we just thought this would be something to read. And I think so many people will have varying experiences of these things, like whether it's a toxic friend or a toxic friendship relationship, or the aspect of kind of struggling to make new friends as you kind of get a bit older and how you go about doing that. And I think you've probably had a lot of experience in that way, Pat, haven't you? You say quite often that you have found the sort of the loneliness aspect of friendship at times.
And my two best friends, one lives in Derby, one lives in Northern Ireland, you know, like the two girls that I have been closest to, like I've been friends with Michelle since I was 19, so, you know, 20 years, and I've been friends with Mel, probably for about 15 years. You know, both are very significant, long-term, will be lifelong friends.
Yeah.
But even, you know, sometimes the dynamic of our three has changed, and I've perhaps been closer to Mel at points, or closer to Michelle, or they've been closer to each other. And, you know, I always found, you know, I know a lot of your friends that you made later on in life came through having children. And I think that is a natural way that, and it remember in the kind of depths of my infertility, watching all of those long-term friends have children and thinking, oh God, like, and then I'd watch them go off and meet new friends, be that through NCT or the school gates or whatever it may be, like clubs or whatever, football, dancing, whatever it may be that their children got into. And I think there does come a point where you think, how do I find those people that are my people, really, and that I can take stuff to and I can go to? And I've, you know, I've got a few friends that live locally, but probably people that I've never been majorly close to or done lots of things with. And I was really fortunate last year that totally unexpectedly I made two really great new friends, and it's been a real comfort, actually. Both of them I've become close to both of them in different ways. We're close as a three, you know. I'm really fortunate that that happened, but I can definitely pinpoint times in my life, and I've had conversations with you where I've been like, God, I just feel like I've got no friends
near me,
close to me, who I can sort of ask to see or spend time with. And it's been a bit of a game changer, really. You know, and it's definitely, and I, you know, I, like you, I love people. I love being with people. I love being out. I love meeting new people.
Yeah.
But meeting new people and making friends are two very different things.
Oh, very much so.
Because there are only so many people that you really let into that space, isn't there? That you say, I class you as a good friend. You know, I did have a friend. I've got a friend locally I've been also been friends with, God, for years, Laura. You know, I'm close to her. But it's nice when you meet and find new friendships.
Oh, 100%.
And new dynamics. And, you know, that's definitely been a struggle for me in the past.
Yeah. And I find out very quickly people that I do automatically connect with.
Yes.
Like I've never found that hard. That sort of, you know, there'll be people I might have met and have kind of gotten to know, but I very quickly work out, actually, you know, I'll be polite to you, and I'm not going to be rude, but actually I know there's nothing really here that would kind of keep this friendship going.
I agree.
And yet there are other people that I'll just meet and almost just, instantly feel like I have known them for years.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of when those things happen, I always think it's brilliant that that does happen.
Yeah.
But I think sort of like the one of the questions was around how do you make new friends? And I think weirdly, a lot of the friends I have now are friends that I've made through having children. So like our children might have been mates and then you end up becoming friends and all the rest of it. Yeah. But actually our children are no longer that friendly, but we have continued to keep this friendship, and we might not see each other a huge amount.
No.
But I think sometimes when your children start getting older, like this woman was talking about, you know, when they go to secondary school, that all changes. And I think sometimes that can be so hard.
Yeah.
Because those points in your day where you would go and walk up to school to pick them up and you'd have a chat with some people at the gate, and that they're gone. Yeah. Because that they're in, you know, your child's independence now means that they quite often get themselves to school, they get themselves home. And I think it is quite hard to, unless you have really made those really firm friendships, it's very easy for that to kind of slide without you even really realizing it. And I think I would just sort of say to this listener is, you know, try and find ways of, you know, even if now kind of the school aspect of, you know, not being up as, find other ways of being able to meet people, whether that's like starting some kind of course for yourself or
joining the PTA through the school.
Exactly. Or, I think that that's sometimes, and I think that's hard because you do have to push yourself. You have to sort of put yourself out there a little bit. And that can be really hard when you're in a place where you've kind of gone into a bit of a rut. Like, how do I kind of get myself out of this now? Yeah. But I think, you know, friends and having those friends you can turn to are so vitally important.
And I would also say, like, you know, I definitely believe friends can feel like soulmates. You know, you can meet somebody and you think, oh my God, I could bring anything to you.
Yeah.
You and I are incredibly fortunate that we have always had a deep friendship with each other.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for us, for both of us, we are each other's port of call a lot of the time, and you know, we share a lot with each other, and I know that that's not the same for all sisters. I know that we are incredibly fortunate, but even outside of that, when you meet somebody that you think I could bring anything to I could bring anything to you, and you would listen to it and you would hold it and you'd be gentle with me and you'd care about it and you'd care about me, and I would say those friends for me have turned up when I least expected it.
Those
people have come into my life. And I've, before I've known it, I've gone, oh my God, you feel like you're one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I may not have known you very long, but the quality of the friendship that you find, and you don't find that with everyone.
No, absolutely not.
I've got close mates and then I've got mates.
Yes.
And my close mates are very small. You know, I can count on one hand my close friends. And then I have,
I mean, I can count mine on two.
You've got 10.
Yeah.
You've got 10 close mates.
Yeah. Well, probably more like sort of like 9.
Close?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have many.
Maybe not 9. I'd say, no, actually 9.
Yeah. I don't have that. I'd say I've got 4.
Yeah.
I've got 4 mates that are.
And I class those friends that I could turn up on their doorstep.
Yeah, that's like me.
Ring at 3 in the morning. Yeah. You know, those sort of friends that I'm like, oh shit, like everything has like really gone wrong or something awful has happened. And I know that I could do that with all of those people.
Yeah.
And when I was out on Saturday, one of Tara's mates came with us and I've met her a couple of times. She's come out at other times.
Sorry, you've met her a what? You've met her a...
Sorry, I met her a couple of times.
Thank you.
Caroline. Do you know what? I need to get her number off Tara, but we said we're going to exchange numbers because she's one of those people I've met a few times, and every time I meet her, I end up like talking to her about shit. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I don't actually really know you that well, but I'm actually finding myself talking to you about things that,
well,
and that's my sort of sign.
Like that,
it's
amazing when you find new people that you go, oh God, you're not just going to be a friend.
No.
You're going to be like a lifelong best mate. Like,
buddy.
I've really sadly today I've been to a funeral for a lad who was only 33 and he died of an overdose. And one of the guys that gave a tribute had only known him for 10 months. And he said, Joe was my soulmate. Was my soulmate. The moment I met him, I knew we were going to be deeply connected. Joe was my soulmate. Aww. And, you know, that is, friendship for me isn't about the length of time I've known you.
No,
it's about how
not.
You show up in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, in regards to this, like, toxic friend, God, I just don't have time for that anymore.
No.
I don't have time for that drama. And I can't answer this question for you about whether you should cut it off or let it fizzle. Mm. That is your own choice. But those people that create drama that are, quite frankly, not nice people, and when you start to see their true colours, it's painful. God,
absolutely.
It is deeply painful. When you think somebody has been your friend and then that changes, it is. We've spoken about it before. It can feel like a breakup. It's horrible.
Oh, definitely.
It is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just, for me now, I'm like, I don't have the time for this.
And also I think it is that thing of, I don't want to waste any more time.
No, God,
like,
no.
You know, life is so short. Like, why am I going to allow that friendship and that situation
to make me feel
shit?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I am not, this is not worth my time and my heartache and any, you know, space in my head.
No.
I've just got to go, do you know what? It was a great friendship and actually... it now isn't, and I just have
and
to just cut
thing,
that out.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, guard your heart at all costs.
Yeah.
Like, I've learned sometimes the hard way about friendship that those people that I thought were one way actually turn out not to be, and it's devastating and it's horrible. But guard your heart, because you know, it's the most precious thing, and it's not worth this person who is being toxic to you, this person who was once your friend and that's changed, or you've seen a different side to them, whatever. It's desperately hard, and it, and I'm not underestimating how painful it is, but they're not worth it.
No,
they're
absolutely not
worth it. They're not worth your time or your heartache.
No.
And I think, you know, you can be, it's that saying, isn't it? A season, a reason, or for life. There are friends that are for a reason at a certain point, just for a season. And then there's those mates that you know are going to be with you for life.
Forever.
And are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with you. And when you find those, keep hold of them, because
they're
rare.
Keep them close.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they are precious people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a quick question. Does your 9 include me, or would it be 10 including me?
Be 10 including you, Pat.
Oh, I see. I wasn't even fucking included. Is that because of my jeans? Is that because of my overripped
jeans? It's because, you've really sort of messed that up because
screwed
of your jeans
off
now.
Myself,
fine. So, it would be 10 including you, Pat.
Mine would be 5 including you.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Really, I mean, I've got, like, I would then say there's another periphery of friends that are out of that inner sanctum. But
inner sanctum.
My absolute, like, soul crew, I suppose.
Yeah.
Are 5 including you.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Yeah, well, not the same. I'm double, but, you know, same kind of
that you're just, you know, more needy, actually. More needy. I mean, do with
you're
that.
Needy man. You're needy, man.
Do with, given the stuff at the top of the show. Do with that what you will, and is just more needy, essentially, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at the end of another episode.
Yes.
And we hope you've enjoyed it. Obviously, we always love hearing from you. There's loads of ways you can get in touch. You can find both Ange and I on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Gordon. She's at Ange Gordon.
And you can find the podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. Just search Finding the Funny.
We hope that the next week is great for all of you, and we'll be back right here next week helping you to find more of the funny.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.